Thank you very much. Good afternoon. You know, when I landed in Lihue, there's a burning question that just came to mind. And I think you guys will know maybe the answer, or you could help me out. I wondered as soon as I got off the plane, do they allow loud laughing here in Hawaii? Or is it just aloha? Hey, you know, folks, mahalo for the laughs. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate it. I got to keep you guys awake, see? What I have behind my back is a pickleball paddle. I think you guys are familiar with this. You've probably been hearing the noise happen quite a bit. I play pickleball, and I really enjoy it. I'm not that good. People like to play against me because I usually win. So, you know, keep that in mind. But, you know, I made a lot of friends playing pickleball, whether you go to a park and you just play pickleball or you join a league. But I've also made an enemy, unfortunately, like an arch nemesis, so to speak. If you'd endure a small short story here, but I remember it was just a normal, typical week, end of the day that I was over at the a place that a lot of us play pickleball at. It's a place called Imagination Station. Okay, just think about that. Imagination Station is a family-friendly place. And this is where I grew up. I grew up playing on these in the same area. And so they built pickleball courts there, and I was playing there. And my brother-in-law was with me. He was on my team. And there was this guy who was on a court or two down, and every time he did something great or maybe messed up, I mean, he would say some real, real nasty words. I mean, he had a potty mouth, okay? It was kind of rough. And I gave him one or two times, because remember, we're at the Imagination Station. Okay, the name would at least, you know, tell you how to act in this place. But so I gave him one or two free passes there, but then he kept on saying these things, and it started to bother me. To the point that I stopped my game and I pointed at him and I said, "Hey, stop cussing. Stop saying those words." And then we went back and forth with each other a little bit, and then we kind of left. And then so the next week or the week after, I see him, he sees me. I stare right at him, glaring at him, because I remember, and he just ignores me the entire time. I had some real pent-up issues with him, to the fact that I even called the local government. I know that's ridiculous, but I did. This is not a joke. I called the local government. I said, "There's a terrible thing happening on the pickleball court." And they're like, "What's going on?" It's like, "Somebody hurt?" I'm like, "No, this guy's using bad words." And the lady was like, "Oh, okay, let me transfer you to so-and-so." And so they transferred me to so-and-so, and I'm like, "Look, we need to put up signs there. I'll pay for them. I'll put a sign that says, 'No cussing, no potty words, or else.'" And like, what's the else? I have no idea what the else might be, but I did ask for escalation procedures. Like, okay, so what if I see him again and I tell him, "Hey, there's a sign, or there's a note that says, 'No cussing.'" What's the next thing? They said, "I guess you would just walk over and tell the cops." And so I'm sure the cops would be like, "Let me drop all the other things that I'm doing and come over here to the pickleball court and deal with this. A guy using bad words." Matthew 19, folks, if you have your Bible here, let's go to Matthew 19, starting in verse 16. It's a parable that we've heard about, not a parable, but this is an actual account here of the rich young ruler. Starting in verse 16, it says here, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' And so he asked, like, 'Which ones?' Jesus said, 'You should not murder, you should not commit adultery, you should not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' And the young man said, 'Look, all these things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack? What do I still lack?' Jesus said to him, 'If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You know, if you and I were to have asked Jesus Christ that same question, put yourself in the young man's shoes here, what would he say to us? He'd ask us, well, keep the commandments. And then we'd respond, well, we've been doing that since our youth. We've been doing this for a long time, okay? Then he goes on and says, well, but actually, you remember that guy you blew up on the pickleball courts? Or maybe that career you focus so much on? That juicy gossip that you just can't help but indulge in? The material possessions that you happen to lust after? That negative, discouraging, harsh attitude you have? Maybe that pride or ego that keeps you away from reconciliation? The issue with a family member, church member, someone at work, someone at school, a friend, maybe, yeah, even an arch nemesis on the pickleball court. And perhaps maybe we don't even get past the first question, keep the commandments. Maybe we do struggle because we're human and we struggle with certain commandments that we have issues with and we have to work on that. In a way, when I read this scripture and why I wanted to put the scripture here is that it tells me, like, if you want eternal life, go and address these things, like I told the rich young ruler to do, to go sell his possessions, the material things that he wanted. And that list I gave you, maybe it's like he's telling us, go address these things and then come and pay particular attention and focus me or follow me. Now, I want to be clear that some of the wounds and some of the issues that we have with folks are, they're deep wounds. They're very deep and they might take some time. But when I examined my grudge with this pickleball guy, I was mad and I wanted him to know it. And for a moment, not even realizing it, I allowed my desires, myself, to come before the kingdom. The rich young ruler allowed his possessions and wealth, his self, his desires to come before the kingdom. Do we do the same? Do I do the same? Are we prioritizing the physical over the eternal? Or self over the kingdom? Or is it kingdom over self in all areas of our life? If it is kingdom over self, then our adherence to the commandments, how we treat others, our priorities, will reflect that kingdom over self mindset. If we desire eternal life, we know the scriptures says seek first the kingdom of God and not seek first the kingdom of self. Here at the feast, how can we tactically apply or work on this? You know, we are here to enjoy ourselves. We saw the message earlier from our president talking about rejoicing. And we're here to have fun. I mean, we're in Hawaii. You know, I've already had a lot of fun already so far. And it didn't even start. It just started. But we are commanded to rejoice and to have fun and to fellowship. But the best feasts are the ones that you also focus on others. That you also focus on others and you give of your time and in service. Now, I can speak from personal example that if I had feasts where all I did was focus on myself, what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go eat, how long do I want to stay in service? Now, I'm not saying that everybody has to have a certain time limit here. You know, but like fellowshipping, like, okay, once I've done 10 minutes, I'm leaving so I can get to my next thing. And I've had feasts where I've done that, and let me tell you, when I reflect on those feasts, I know that I missed out. I really missed out. And in feasts, when I've actually tried to apply this, and not perfectly, but this kingdom over self, or focusing on others rather than focusing on self, those are some of the most rewarding and fulfilling feasts that I've had. When I go home, I know I have work to do to continue to build and prioritize God's kingdom over my kingdom. And one small step to that is reconciling with this pickleball guy. I truly want to do that. If I see him, I'll go say something and I'll try to apologize. Now, I'm not going to apologize for calling out potty language or filthy language. I'm not going to apologize for that. But how I did it, my attitude behind it, the way I communicated, I could have done that better. I could have approached it from a kingdom mindset rather than a selfish, carnal mindset that's so easy to do. Here's a provocative question that I want to leave all of us with here. If Jesus asked us to address or remove that one thing that we all know that maybe, yeah, that's an area that I need to look at. Yeah, that's a habit that I really should change. That's an addiction that I should remove. That's an attitude that I really need to just get rid of. That's a mindset. If he were to ask us to address it and remove it, that which would block us from inheriting eternal life, would we? Would we, or would we leave like the rich young man or rich young ruler and be sad? A little disheartened that, like, oh, I just wish he wouldn't have poked on that specific thing. Because it's a big thing. Would we do it? Would we focus on it and would we remove it from our lives? Address the relationships that have caused us issues or separation? Sometimes it's easy to not have to deal with something when they're so far apart, but when you're here close, things pop up. But it's important to focus on those things and truly prioritize God's kingdom over ourselves, to follow him and inherit eternal life. One final set of scriptures here, Jude verses 16, so if you can turn to Jude. Jude verses 16 to 21 here says this. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts or own selves, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved brethren, the words which you were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Brethren, I wish you a rewarding and fulfilling feast and holy days here. And remember this, I said this in a feast message a long time ago. We always get from the feast what we put into the feast.